If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And what we're going to do is just go right into the service tonight. But we have to always tell why, even if you heard it 55 times, why we do what we do here at Fellowship Baptist Church. If it's not biblical-based, there's no use to do it. We're wasting our time. If it is biblical-based, then we need to be refreshed in our mind every time we do it so we know that we're doing accurately. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. This is some 26 years after what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. And he started giving the information out to the apostles how that they were to eat what we know of the Lord's Supper or what we think of as communion today. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful that we understand the gospel plan. It's wonderful to understand. Something bothered me in the last couple of certainly a little while in the last couple of years about the power of God that's in the gospel. I don't guess anybody's ever really studied that much or understand it. We know it's there. We know it's the dynamite of God. But at the same time, what does that power of God do for us? Well, we've seen it this morning. We've seen those two men walk the aisle. You know, it's one thing to get saved, is have enough salvation that you're ready to come among God's people and walk the aisle and confess that you have trusted Christ that is saved your soul as your Lord and Savior, and to be baptized. We know the Great Commission is to go and win them to Christ, then we're to baptize them, and then we're to teach them the Word of God. I don't mean to teach it of the Word of man, I mean the Word of God. So everything needs to be based around this. But we live in days today, very few people like to hear that. And Paul told Timothy that day would come, have itching ears, not want to hear sound doctrine. And so we're thankful what little bit God shows us here. So when we come together, such a thing as this, and we do it four times a year on the fifth Sunday night, but since we had to switch it due to the end of the year activities taking place, we changed it to the fourth this particular month. And Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you." No doubt, if he didn't receive it before or didn't receive it after, he received it when he was away a couple, 3 years there in Asia Minor, and God was teaching him, I'm sure, to understand the Old Testament with the new and the new direction that God was sending him as a minister to the Gentiles. He said that the Lord Jesus, the same night. Now, what I've received of the Lord, I'm delivered to you. And here's what it is. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Interesting. Now, when we take the bread tonight and the cup, this is not something that literally turns into blood and into the body of Christ. You do in remembrance of him. We don't teach transubstantiation here. When you take of the blood of the Lord, of the cup, it does not become the blood of Christ. Nothing can become the blood of Christ. It's pure. It's pure. It's holy. But it's symbolic of that. And so what we're seeing, as Paul said, when you do this, take of this bread, you do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. And they said, after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my body." And he said, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So not only you take of the bread and take of the cup, it's done in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing because you've heard me say before, and I believe again tonight, that when we take communion, if we do it right, we're as clean before God as the day we got saved. Now, some things have happened from the day you got saved until different parts in life. Because I'll tell you, if known sin or unknown sin is not confessed before God, and how can you confess unknown sin if you don't know what the unknown sin is? And that's the problem with people trying to live in perfection. There's a lot of things they don't know yet. And sin is sin whether we know it or not. So thank God Almighty that communion, Jesus evidently and certainly knew ahead of time this would be a time that when it was done, that God's children who can get contaminated just because they live in this world, that they literally come to the place that they take communion in the right method, and we find it given here by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. And isn't it amazing, the church at Corinth is the most carnal church that there was, and that's where Paul gave this instruction to, that where they could be clean before God, just like they were the day they trust Christ as Savior. Because when we trusted Christ as Savior and He washed us, even though we couldn't see the unseen hand what was happening, we know through faith it happened, and God cleansed us and washed us from our sin. And at that very moment, we were as clear as it could be before God. We were clean before God. No sin was disrupt us in any way. But because we're in an evil world, and we go day by day, week after week, and because of things that flows through our mind, and because of the things we don't evaluate right in life, and because of the things that takes place that gets us sometimes, we lose our cool, there's a lot of things that causes us to be not like Christians. We're deceiving ourselves if you think it's not. You'd be surprised how many times my wife and I hear this said about some people sometimes. You know, I saw so and so and so and so, and if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. And you would think the person that would that they say that about would say, well, I don't see what could be wrong. But I'm saying to you, we have problems even though we're children of God. And we have to come to the throne of grace and use the blood and do 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a time of purity for the child of God. You can stop in your pathway of life and come before God's throne and be clean as it was the day when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And He said, you do it in remembrance of Me. You go back and you remember what happened. You go back and you remember at that time not only what happened to you, but what I did for you. You run it through your mind, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You remember where you were at the time you got saved. What you may not said, but what you did, at least at that element. And then He goes on, and He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Isn't that interesting? The night that we who take of this cup and take of this bread, He says, Paul did, from God, that you do show the Lord's death till He comes. In other words, when people say, well, why do you take communion? Because we're showing that Jesus Christ died physically. He died eternal death, but He died, He was buried, He rose again the third day. And we're showing that we believe the blood that was shed, that God extracted eternal death from Him, cleansed us from our sin. And so here, as all you do this, and this is the reason I say, some people say, well, why don't we, that be the case, we're going to do it every week like some organizations do. Well, did you know if we had communion every Sunday, it wouldn't be enough because it reminds us, but it gets so boring it becomes ritual. And when you do things so regularly, it becomes ritual. It has no meaning whatsoever. You think right now, those organizations have communion just about every Sunday, and they have it in ritual in their routine as far as service is concerned, and it's automatically. It's like robots. It's like it's ritual. It's done, and there's no meaning whatsoever as far as really understanding what's going on. And then some even teach you how to do that, because if you don't, that the cup that you drink actually keeps cleansing you every. It's like getting saved every week. In other words, every time you go take communion, you're getting saved again. Well, thank God, ladies and gentlemen. What a sad thing it is that the blood of Christ can save us and cleanse us, then all of a sudden something else can substitute to keep us saved. No, we do it because of remembrance. And boy, when we remember, think about where you was at and what happened, how you came. Most of us didn't trust the Lord the first time we heard the gospel. Think about what He brought us through and how He brought us to where we are even today. And we go back and remember everything we are started today that we got saved. So He said, now as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Now, I've had people say, well, preacher, I don't have to go to church to take communion. I can take it home by myself. Well, I reckon you could if you had the right frame of mind. But there must be something wrong if a person can't come to the church to take communion and say they take it home by themselves. By the way, I doubt many people stay home and take communion by themselves. They may stay home and say they do, and they use something other than grape juice. Instead of taking a cup, they use a bottle. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying, but there's people who replaces things with things. And so tonight, we're here because we love God. We thank Him what He's done for us, and we want to obey what the Lord Jesus said. So tonight, as we partake of this, we're stopping in our tracks in a fast lane of living and saying to God, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for remembering us as human beings, even, 6,000 years later. Come up with a method where we could be called children of God. And though we break the heart of the Lord at times, I'm sure, And though there may be times that we're not pleasing to Him, I thank God He loved us before we're saved. He loved us after we're saved. And even after we're saved, He's prepared a way that God's children can be clean before Him. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a terrible thing for a person to take communion routinely. Oh yeah, I confess my sins and the next morning get up and do the same thing again. That's not really true confession. It means simply that we need to mean what we say when we come to communion. And then once we take communion, ask God to help us realize, and though if I get victory over one thing, Satan's going to see to it in my weakness somewhere else that can trick me up. But I got to have a determination and a will that I want God's will for my life. And God's will for my life is to simply be where He could use me. He even tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, He doesn't mean that we're going to have a continuous time. God is always holy. God is always right. But He is telling us the goal to shoot for, and in turn He will help us, and He fixed it like He did Israel. When Israel was given the law, perfect law, and we've seen that on Wednesday night, and then they broke the law, God loved them enough to help them make a way that that law could have atonement. And therefore they could still be blameless before the Lord until Jesus should come. And even now, we who are saved, I'm glad that I understand my God and my Savior enough to know that if something that I would do or think or even not know would be wrong because I didn't know enough about the Bible, I'm glad to know that I don't have to worry about God saying, well, you need to get saved over again. By the way, if that's the method, we'd have to have been saved 1,000 times since we already been saved. You see, I'm afraid we got this little pious thing that we're so holy. No, we're not, folks. We're not. This flesh is just as evil as ever been. And if you don't bring it in subjection, it'll show you. It'll show you. It will deceive you. It still will come about. Only that new creation in Christ gives us the ability to really live for the Lord. And that takes spiritual growth. And so tonight we come here for the purpose to obey God in taking communion. Let's bow our heads and pray.